This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Stretch run of this show and of the week on Grant and Danny. The weekend looms. We'll take you up to 6:30. You are listening to The Fan. Linnell Willingham's got overtime when we are done. He'll keep it live and local this evening right here on your flagship home for the Nats and the Caps. By the way, the Nationals off tonight. They're back in action for the next 2 days at home at Nats Park Saturday and Sunday. You do a little double dip on Sunday because the D.C. Defenders right across South Capitol Street at Audi Field open their season at 3 p.m. The Capitals are also home on Sunday. They have been away for their little two-game road trip, but they are hosting the Buffalo Sabres.
What's the timing on that? You try
3 o'clock start time. You cannot.
Oh, okay.
This is where the Defenders, I think, botched it a little bit, if we're being honest. That's got to be an 8 p.m.er, I think. Now, you would have to have
Or you chosen. Could do an aggressive morning time or something, which people wouldn't want. Yeah.
You still would have to probably choose between the Caps and the Nats because the Nats are, I think, 4:05. So you could probably do like a period or two of the Caps, catch a few innings of the Nats, and then go catch some Defenders if you wanted to work it out that way. But we need a city planner around these parts or something. Like a sports... I'm going to volunteer for that job.
Ooh.
A sports city planner who just lines up all the start times, who has like big meetings where I go, you can't play then because this team is playing, but you could start 2 hours after that. I think we need that person. What's the name of that?
Sports plannings are.
How do I get that
Literally
job?
Just made it up. I think it's a hell of an idea. Here's part of the other duties. You ready? When there's a game in one location, then a game in the other location. No rubes on the route. No looky-loos. No, but like, look, honey, there's the manumets. Get your camera out. Honey, look over there.
Cherry
get out
blossoms.
Get out of the way. I've got to go.
Get ready for cherry blossom season.
Yeah, I know.
Going home tonight. I think it's in peak bloom.
Yeah.
395. I'm sure that'll be a treat.
Now, I am wearing my cherry blossom shirt.
Yes, you are.
Now, it's not because I like that part of it. It's because
the cherry blossoms are beautiful.
Well, I felt like they were getting too much disrespect with like, have you guys seen the new uniforms? The new ones? The
Guy.
New ones? And I didn't think we were getting enough attention for the correct joyous grays, but it's not to endorse looky-loos looking at the dumb cherry blossoms. Yeah, they're not dumb. I love them. But please stop looking at them. Get out of my way.
Darius, do you have a drum roll? Because I do think I am ready to make a major announcement on Grant and Danny. I didn't think I was going to make this announcement.
I did.
But I'm ready. I'm going to use today as the opportunity because people are already upset about my Bryce Harper stance.
And your Maryland stance.
Grant Trolson presents.
The new City Connects are better than the cherry blossoms.
There it is. That's why I wore this today.
The new City Connects. I saw enough of them at the ballpark yesterday. They are so beautiful in person. They're so good looking in person. Now, maybe it's just the jerseys. Like the rest of it, I'm not so sure. I need to see it on the field. But the jerseys themselves, it's gray. It's a cool jersey. I loved it. It's the one I most recently bought will be the last Nats jersey I probably ever buy is that gray one. But that blue is sexy. It's so good.
Grant Paulson Harper.
Boo!
I'm talking about toes. You get them. Put that thumb down.
You don't dislike the blue ones.
I like them. They're fine, but they're not the cherry blossoms.
Cherry blossoms, tired. The blue ones, wired. How about that,
Dave? Boo!
I know. I'm ruffling some feathers today.
Man, you are not scared today.
No, it's my day. We're just doing it.
Weather's nice.
Yeah.
Just brought your finger guns fully loaded.
Guy, me and Andrew Golden will be back to back with swords, fighting the masses as they're running at us, the Washington Post Nats beat reporter. Jon Snow in the Battle of the Bastards. Taking on all comers.
Mm-mm-mm.
Speaking of which, you know who's with me on my Bryce Harper stance? It's not Toby. He's made that clear. It's not Danny. He's made that clear.
Someone close to you in the press box looking down on the common fan?
It's not Ryan Clary. He's made that clear. Darius Dameron.
Oh my God.
Is on my side on the Bryce Harper booing.
Now listen, I was hurt when he chose to go to Philly as opposed to any other team that's outside of the division.
Who
I was hurt, just like anybody
just
else.
Just decided to grow up right after that, right?
Yeah. Admittedly,
that's his team, first, Darius.
Admittedly, the first couple of times I'm that funny. He came up to plate as a Philly in Nationals Park, I was with the people booing.
Did you boo him?
Yeah, I booed.
Okay.
Sure.
You did some booing.
Yeah. But you know when I got over it? A year later. It's we're done now. It's fine. We got past the part where he hurt us. Now can we move on and just treat him like a regular, you know, a regular division rival at this point? Do we have to boo him in the masses every single time now? It just feels excessive to me at this point, and I'm over it.
I got a guy. His name's Dad. Back to back, belly to belly. Let's do this thing. What is this, Sterling? They go back to back and belly to belly. I don't know why we'd have to go belly to belly.
That doesn't make any, it's so impractical.
It doesn't, yeah.
Why would you go belly to belly?
Well, let's go back to back with our swords. Jon Snow against the world.
All right. Yeah, I'll pass on the belly to belly. Back to back, we can do that. Yeah.
We don't need to play tummy sticks.
No.
We'll just go back to back.
There you go.
800-636-1067. TJ Oshie. He's losing his voice.
I got another one for you guys.
He's sick. He's like on his sixth day of drinking and being hungover.
Yeah.
I got one more for you. What was the one that everyone loved before? Because if you remember why he was saying it, was he's like, I got one more saying for you. Back to back.
Was it one more year? I can't remember what it was. Like but for whom? I don't know
maybe
what
Trotz.
That would have been for, maybe. Yeah. I can't remember what it was. He's like, I got another chant for you guys. I don't know why he's doing I'm doing Sean McVay bits or Josh Harris, but I can't get that voice.
It sounds like Marty McFly a little bit.
Hey, wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me you're going to go back to back?
I didn't know you had a Marty.
Well, I got to run the team back, Marty.
That's a good. He's Sice for Oshie for some reason.
I'm a big fan of Gritty Fords, Marty.
88 was Nate Schmidt at the time. 88 miles an hour, so it would have been Nate Schmidt miles an hour.
Nate Schmidt miles an hour. 2 minutes out of the future, honey.
Let's go to Margaret, who's in Virginia on Grant and Danny. Margaret, do you think there will be a point where Bryce Harper is welcomed back at Nats Park without being booed?
Frankly, I will never do that, and I can tell you why. The
sure.
only two things that I think are real about Bryce Harper are his ego and his talent. And he's lucky he's got his talent, or he would really be hated. And frankly, I think part of the reason that the Nationals won the World Series after he left was because Bryce Harper wasn't sucking all the energy out of the, you know, out of the
could be
field.
Something to that. It was that was the best clubhouse, Margaret, they ever had in terms of
that's right.
Unity.
I mean, get the bell ready.
The brotherhood?
The brotherhood. That's what it was. I mean, you'd like to fake it. You'd like to say, hey, let's all go out to mini golf or let's play whatever, dress up as zebras and pass the cabbage at spring training like Davey's done it for whatever time. You can't fake it. That was genuine and real that year.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. It was a better clubhouse. And I don't even think Bryce purposefully was a bad clubhouse guy. He was just one of the Beatles.
There's so much gravity to Bryce Harper.
Yeah, he was
a lot of that wasn't his fault.
The biggest stars in the game. So even if he wanted to be one of the guys, he couldn't be one of the guys. And there's some Robert Griffin where, like, you've been a superstar for a long time and everyone treats you as such. And so you're chilling there trying to have a conversation and just your presence alone is going to be leading to people speaking to you in a certain kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not even anything of your own doing. It's almost subconscious. Let's go to Gary, who's an Olney, on Grant and Danny. What's up, Gary?
Hey, Grant. Hey, Danny. I love your show.
Appreciate
I've been
you.
A Nats since they got here. And when they drafted Harper, I have to admit I was excited, but I always felt that this was a stopgap for him, that he was going to go on to. I really thought he would go out at the end of his first contract, that he would become a free agent. And I thought he'd go to Los Angeles or somewhere out west because he's from Las Vegas. But then when he signed with the Philadelphia Phillies, that was like, okay, this guy, you know, it is what it is. And it's interesting, but I never really felt his heart was here. It's also interesting, I think it was right after he signed that big contract, which I'm sure he was excited about, didn't Mike Trout sign a bigger one shortly after that eclipsed his?
So, yeah, he went for over 400 right after Bryce got three. I mean, that was basically 313. It was just kind of a record in name. I mean, it was technicalities, yeah.
Yeah, so this whole big thing of getting the biggest contract ever, I think within a week or two, Mike Trout signed a bigger one. So I also think what the other caller said, I felt that he became the elephant in the room. And when he left that 2019 season, when they won the World Series, I'm not sure they would have done it with him in the clubhouse.
Appreciate you, Gary. So let me ask you this, Danny. I've been thinking about this. So I have not come up with the right player yet. Maybe you guys can help me in the producer studio. I have not come up with a good comp. But if a Harper-like figure left New York or Boston, or I don't know what the best quote-unquote like sports markets are considered in terms of media markets, would it be the same? Like, would they wear him out for as long? Because one of the points that this super annoying Phillies fan that I couldn't stand yesterday made, which I actually thought had some merit, and I'd have to go back and look at this, was he said when Jason Worth left, because I said, you guys booed Jason Worth. You hated Jason Worth when he came back. A little bit different, though, because he won a World Series with Philadelphia. So I'll acknowledge that.
Right.
But his point was we wore him out initially. We crushed him. And then we got over it. Like, over a couple of years when he would come back. I'm sure there's a smattering of boos.
I don't remember it that way. He seemed to be very confident in that.
I don't know if that's true or not. Again, I'd have to go back and look.
Right.
But I certainly don't remember it like yesterday, where it's opening day, it's 40,000 people, it's a little different. But it was like that, 8 years later. That I do not remember. Now, also, Harper's a bigger deal. He's a bigger star.
Sure.
Won an MVP award, for God's sake. You can make the case. It was the most important player in organizational history at the time that he left. It was him or Strasburg. But rank your top five favorite Nationals right now, all time. Who would they be?
Okay. Scherzer. Zim. Soto, Strauss.
I think you'd be trying not to include Harper, but it's your list.
Yeah. Just guys I liked.
Yeah.
Not guys that sort of like, okay, I can deal with that. He's great. Acknowledges greatness. I mean, the guy was incredible.
Okay, so you didn't love him then when he played here.
No.
Okay. Maybe that's part of it, too. So, like, Bryce would be my third favorite National ever, behind Soto and Max.
Which I get. I mean, he was incredible. I'm not knocking the ability. It was obvious from minute one.
Strauss would be narrowly behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, Strauss and Bryce would be really close. It's a little harder for me just because Strauss was such a prickly guy personally.
Mm-hmm.
He was just, and I try not to make that part of the conversation, but I'd be remiss if I didn't say it might have been a factor. But like as a player, every start he made, I was at Nats Park if I could be there, because you never know what you were going to see. But I think I would have Bryce third. Like, I also think as we get further away, people forget how damn good he was.
He was incredible.
He homered every opening day. He would hit two homers.
He won MVP when the next closest guy had like a .2
war. He had one of the best seasons I've ever seen before, in a season as a young 20s. Like, people just sleep on how great he was. But yeah, maybe that's part of it too. You're basically saying you didn't necessarily love him as a player. I think I'd have him my third favorite Nat ever.
Because it was always so tired with him. It was always something. Always a thing.
Ever remember being fatigued by any of it.
This tantrum or this argument with John Hirschbeck. Now each time it was like the umpire was a jerk.
So
or whatever.
Getting ejected made you like him less.
But my point was, it wasn't one thing, right? It's like sometimes a marriage dissolves, where it's like if you go, you divorce the guy because he left his coffee mug on the table. But it's not just a coffee mug. It's like it's a constant wearing you down. It was always a thing with him. It's always like, this time he didn't run it out. This time he smacked the bat off his own forehead and he had to get stitches. This time it was this fight. This time it was this thing in the clubhouse. This time it was this comment. This time it was telling I should be playing center field and Denard Span isn't any good. There was always something where everyone always had to deal with this fear around him, and it was exhausting. And you were doing it, though, because he was your guy. And then you believed the rhetoric that DC or nothing. Here's my hashtag. I believe you guys. You're my guy. And then, that was all empty. And it was all a lie.
All the stuff you named, the only time I remember actually being annoyed was the Span thing. Hitting the bat against the wall, don't care about. Getting ejected because John Hirschback's a maniac.
The putts. So is Marty Foster, by the way.
Don't care about
They're
that
all
even a little bit. I think the running the ball out, you know, that's an easy, you know, it's a kind of a easy thing to get upset about or pick out. Everybody's done it every time.
What you're doing
time.
Is taking the specific example
right.
and refuting the general.
No, but I'm just saying, I'm going through them, and your point is it's exhausting when it, and I'm saying the list of my always somethings is way smaller. Like, you had more things you'd go, okay, I'm putting that in the always something pile. They didn't make my pile.
Okay.
It was a lot harder for him to annoy
top me. Top of my head examples. Right? Yeah. I'm not saying they were annoying, but my point is it was always a thing in some way. That part of that's not his fault. It's the gravity of being a guy that graduated high school at 15, played hit 40 bombs as a 16-year-old in a wood bat junior college league, being the presumptive number one pick for 4 years, hitting a ball out of Tampa Bay's dumb stadium with an aluminum bat at 13. Like, he was the prodigious superstar before he set foot on a major league diamond. So we knew everything. He's blowing kisses to guys in the minors, and there was always a thing with him. So it couldn't just be Bryce Harper, baseball man, played baseball today. It was always a story or something else around it. And you had to do this relentless defense all the time to people in other markets. And just it was just a lot. My point is, it was always a lot. But you did it because he's like, D.C., you're nothing, bro. I mean, excuse me. Hold on. Let me get my dry erase board out.
Right. Well, then he erased that, and it was Philly or nothing, bro. But back to my question. And we don't have a good comp, because there's never been a great Bryce Harper comp. If we're being honest. But I don't know what the best we could do is. But if that guy left the Yankees or the Red Sox or one of these markets, 7 years later, are they still wearing him out? And I just have a hard time believing that.
If you had the same circumstances that happened with Bryce, and I'm trying to think of a good name, like if Nomar in his prime had bailed on Boston, or Derek Jeter had been like...
Johnny Damon went from one to the other.
Yeah, and he caught some Eric Flack,
but
not 7 years worth.
I don't think
worth.
It would have lasted for 7 years,
yeah.
is my point.
Because I think he was like out of baseball 5 years later, but your point stands. Yeah, I think there'd been a lifetime of wearing out. Maybe not to the same degree.
It's the how long it's gone, I guess, that's interesting to me. Larry and Waldorf, you're on Grant and Danny. What's good?
Hey, gentlemen. I've been listening to the last half hour. My username online everywhere is True Pit Fans. I'm a big Pirates fan. When Bonds left and went to the Giants, I think it might be a little bit before you guys' time. But
no, my wheelhouse. I know what you're going. Yep, good.
3 years in a row, they went to the NL Championship game. Then he went to the Giants. And, you know, to this day, if Bonds comes back to Pittsburgh, people are going to boo him relentlessly. Now, Bonds happens to be my favorite player, you know, things like that. So I wouldn't boo him personally. But I still get a lot of that, you know, what you guys are talking about with Bryce reminds me a lot of how people really, really, because, I mean, there was talk about him and Van Slyke having issues and stuff like that.
Him and Leland getting into it, yeah.
Exactly. And so it's like, you know, there was so many different stories that you would hear, and then he goes to the Giants. Yeah, his dad played for the Giants, his godfather played for the Giants, and, you know, he was born and raised in San Francisco and stuff. So obviously he's going to want to go there. And I know Bryce isn't from Philly, he's from Vegas and everything, but, you know, just that vitriol of booing him, regardless of 15, 20 years later he comes back, he's still going to get booed.
So that is a phenomenal comp, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Not one I had thought of. You're right, it's a little bit before my time. My memories of Bonds are all with the Giants. I would ask you this, I'd defer to you, but you kind of led to this. He was also kind of known as not a great teammate, though. Like, he was not popular in his clubhouses a lot of the time. He rubbed people the wrong way. Not everyone would say this. Right. Like, I think Kevin Franzen played with him and loved him.
Yeah, some guys loved him, some guys didn't. Yeah.
That was not Bryce. I mean, Bryce's wedding was like Worth and Desmond and a bunch of dudes. Bryce, we've had a few callers call and be like, oh, he was a bad guy, I didn't like him, he was, you know, a mean guy. That's not the guy I experienced. I mean, that's certainly not the Bryce Harper I remember, you know, spending time around or in terms of his popularity with his teammates.
Well, for me, I feel that, you know, a lot of the attitude that he had when he was younger was kind of backdoored from his dad. His dad had a lot of issues and stuff as a player and stuff. And I imagine that his dad said, you know, don't worry about the press and don't do this and don't do that because of the experiences that he had. And so I think that really kind of clouded some of his stuff and whatnot, you know, because his godfather, you know, Willie Mays
was Willie Mays.
God, everybody loved Willie Mays, and, you know, nobody could do anything bad for Willie Mays. But his dad, conversely, was like, you know, really a piranha. around different sorts.
But let me ask you, so when Barry Bonds went back to Pittsburgh,
because he went to the Hall, he's in the Pittsburgh Hall of Fame now, I think, as of last year, if memory serves. Wasn't there a big ceremony, or am I out of my mind?
I have no idea.
I don't know about the ceremony or not, because I've been in D.C. for the last 10 years. And as a player, his numbers in Pittsburgh
were absurd.
Are phenomenal.
Oh, he was a Hall of Famer.
He was 40-40 club in Pittsburgh before he went to San Francisco.
He would have been a Hall of Famer without the steroids and without going to the
Giants.
If
you take out his seven MVP years, by the way, he did something that no one else in the history of the game has done. You know what I mean? Like that level of stardom. It's ridiculous.
Crazy.
It's not
but
in the Hall.
My question is, so he leaves after the 92 season with the Pirates. In 2000, when he comes back with the Giants, he's still getting booed at that time at PNC Park?
My understanding, yes.
Wow. I mean, so that's interesting. Now, I would say that, again, I'm looking for the big markets. You know, the, like, we win stuff. We're considered top of the line. The Pirates are the little brother, in some sense, to the Giants. And that's what I don't like about it. I get this feeling of, like, inferiority when we're booing the Phillies because they've got our guy. I don't want that. I want it. Like, we're fine. We won a World Series.
That's what it's
morphed
into.
Our next guy was better. Soto was better than Harper here. He won the damn title. We're okay. We don't need to have so much animus. Let him go live his life. It's like walking up to the table every time you see your ex to tell them that they don't look good or to make fun of the new wife. I'm over it. Like, I'm okay, man. We did fine. We look good. We're healthy. We got our own family. We got a big boy job, Danny. We don't need to keep pooing the dude. We can move on. It just feels small to me.
Your question about when it ends, I think is fascinating. Because we're halfway through this 13-year deal. I don't know that it ends. I don't know. And I also don't know, do we come back and have a Bonzian moment? Because Harper's on his way to the Hall of Fame, right? I mean, that's kind of the classic thing we're talking about, right?
100% be in the Hall of
so
Fame.
So when he's a Hall of Famer and he'll have a Phillies plaque, he'll spend 13 years there.
He'll go into the Nats Hall of Fame, too.
And that's kind of my point. What happens then?
Because they may not even have a Hall of Fame, but the D.C. Sports Hall of Fame.
But you know what I mean? Like, if there is one by that point, right? You got a few members. The class of Scherzer, Strasburg, Mr. National, Ryan Zimmerman, a couple other guys. Harper should be included in that because, as you pointed out, the 6 years are pretty damn great. MVP in there. Another year he could have won an MVP, but a couple guys finished higher. So I wonder when it dissipates, if it does. I don't have an answer to that.
Was A-Rod being booed by the Rangers fans 7 years after he left for the Yankees? I just doubt it. I can't imagine that was the case.
He's
probably being booed because he just got popped for steroids, but that's a different story.
Yeah.
I don't know that it was the same thing. It's a good conversation, and I appreciate all the feedback on this because it's something Danny and I wanted to chop up. After yesterday, Linnell's got overtime next. We're keeping it live and local into the evening. If you missed any part of our show today, go to thefandc.com to grab podcasts. We're back at 2 o'clock on Monday. Thanks to Ryan, Toby, Darris, Grant, and Danny. Saying so long.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.